Thank you for coming this evening. I believe that those are words that your God and your Savior would be echoing in your heart. Thank you so much for worshiping me in spirit and truth. Thank you for being a child that is obedient and faithful until the end. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about something that we read in the book of 3 John, actually. If you'll turn over there, just a few verses, the book of 3 John, beginning in the very first verse and through verse 4. John writes, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You think of those words, "just as your soul prospers." You know, that implies that John is having a concern not just for his Gaius's physical health, but his spiritual well-being. You know, we question, how is our own spiritual well-being? How is our own spiritual health? How do we test that? You know, most of us, more than others, are aware of our physical health, right? We know if we're in decent health or not decent health, and some people are more careful than others and more concerned than others, and they put forth the effort to keep in good health by exercise, by eating the right foods, by literally taking the prescriptions that the doctors prescribe. And so we want to be a people who are concerned not only for our physical health, which is important, but we want to be concerned about our spiritual health. The spiritual health is the same in regard. We need to have great effort on our part to stay in good shape spiritually. What do we need to maintain a good level of spiritual health? That's something that we hope to look at this evening. And, you know, I'm not the great physician. We just sung about the great physician, Jesus Christ. And our God is the great physician. But I do know how to access the great physician's reference book, if you will. And that, of course, is our Bible. From there, we learn how to be spiritually strengthened. And so we want to take a look at this great book and see what it has and how it has prescribed for us good spiritual habits, both physical and, of course, tonight we're going to talk about the spiritual side. So what do we need? We need to have a strong immune system. You know, you think about that, something that can ward off disease. Of course, we know that because of what Adam did, Adam brought a death through sin into the world, a cancer, if you will. And so we need to be able to protect ourselves from that cancer. And so sadly, some young children, there's a young man, his name was David Vetter, and he was born in 1971, and he lived his whole life inside of this bubble. Never stepped outside because his immune system had no defense against disease. Imagine that. And he died in 1984 at the age of 13. Just imagine 13 years in a bubble. He couldn't go out and play. There's things that had to be very careful, the kind of water that he had to be filtered and the food that he had. Just imagine a life like that. And so being careful about our immune system spiritually is just as important, right? Without a healthy immune system, relatively small things can threaten you. They can be deadly, very small things. You know, in the world out there, they don't have an immune system spiritually. And so they take a little thing like a little white lie. It's okay. Or stealing something and not being caught. So there's a lot of things that can cause people to lose their soul, to be destroyed there, because they have no defense against the disease of sin. And so the question when we think about this, you know, spiritually, how strong is our ability to withstand spiritual diseases and threats? You know, how do we deal with temptation? How do we deal with false teaching? How do we protect ourselves against persecution? Because all those things are just, they seem like little things. They're far off. I don't worry about persecution. I don't really worry about false teaching. People would be in danger because of the fact that they're not preparing themselves spiritually to be healed and to be protected against these diseases. To face the inevitable, temptation and spiritual hardships that's something that it's going to happen. You know, we can't go out of the world to avoid those things. You know, we can't live in a bubble like David did, that David vetter. We can't live in a bubble. We can't make the house our bubble and stay in the house all the time and have no interaction with the world, never be tempted, never hear any false teaching, never be persecuted. In John chapter 17 at verse 15, Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's speaking to his Father. But that you should keep them from the evil one. Protect them spiritually. Give them a dose of whatever spiritual medication they need in order to survive in the world. And you know, spiritually speaking, we need to build up our resistance. James, he tells us, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a great prescription from the great and mighty the physician, our God. Great prescription. Just resist the devil. In other words, resist all his temptations, all his false teaching, all his ways of causing you to feel as though you're on the wrong path. What a strong immune system is built upon. You know, we'll be able to pay careful attention, and be aware all the time of what's around us. Paul said, take heed lest you fall, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. That take heed is reminding us to be very careful. Be careful about what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's being said. Don't let things just fly over your head or words that aren't true enter into your heart. You need to be very careful. Take heed, lest ye fall. And we're able, by the spiritual inoculation, if you will, we're able to walk circumspectly, which means very cautiously, with consideration of all the potential consequences. And we need to be that kind of person, and we can only do that through God's Word. You know, something we just studied in Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 15 and through 17. See, Paul said that. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, he said, because the days are evil. All the disease out there are the evil things, and they're ready to jump on you. He says, don't be unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's that inoculation, the will of the Lord. And, quite frankly, we will be able to withstand the, quote, wails of the devil. I remember years ago, my wife kept telling me, David, it's not whales, it's whales or wiles. I think I said wiles, but I think I got it right tonight. The wails of the devil, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. So it's a good strategy for building good immune system, spiritually speaking. And the next point really adds to that, regular exercise, right? In the physical sense, we get regular exercise and we build up our body's strength. Here, spiritually, we need regular exercise. We thrive only when we're active. You know, the most terrible thing for any member of the body of Christ is to just not do anything, not be active in the work. And this is true, so spiritually true, right? There is danger in becoming spiritually sluggish. Think of what the Hebrew writer said, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Spiritual activity is so, so necessary, right? We have been created to walk in good works, Ephesians 2 and 10. There is work to be done, and we need to be those who are doing it. We are saved by Jesus to be just like Him. That is, to serve and not be served is what Jesus taught, right? He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so you read those words and you emulate Jesus, and that becomes a part of your spiritual prescription to give you strength and protect you against all those wicked diseases, right? Each of us individually has work to do. None of us are exempt. We need to be active in the work. The manifestation of the Spirit is given, the Scripture says, to each one for the profit of all. And so we need to be those people that are being profitable to all people. Exercise profits little, Paul said, but godliness is profitable to all. And having the great promise, the promise of life that is now life and the life which is to come. So we must work. We need to grow and be strong, spiritually speaking. In due season, we'll reap if we do not what? If we do not lose heart, Paul said. That's all part of being spiritually active. Jesus warned that the night is coming when no one can work. And so his exhortation was to work now, work while it's day. And that doesn't mean, you know, when the sun's up. That just simply means when you're young and when you're strong and you are able to reach out to people. But it means to do it now, because there's going to be a time when you can't do it. We think we can work most effectively within the framework of the local church. We need to be part of that, because that's all part of this spiritual prescription. Fulfilling the roles of evangelism, edification, benevolence, such as the personal work, teaching, Bible classes, inviting people to your homes, setting up studies with people, ministering to the sick, is all part of this spiritual prescription. And so, you know, there's no question here as we look at this that there is work to be done. But we need to balance the work with rest, right? It's not like, you know, we're commanded by God to go out 24/7 and you don't stop unless you pass out. We need to balance the work with rest. It is so necessary to have this kind of rest. Energies, resources, they all need to be replenished, whether it's a physical statement or a spiritual statement. And so when much productive work is done, rest rejuvenates us. Now, be careful as I go through this, because I'm not talking about sleep. Okay, you go and you work really hard all day at your job, whatever that job is. You come home and you want to sit back and rest and close your eyes. Let your body rejuvenate, or go to sleep. Let your body get some of that strength and energy back. You know, if you're a carpenter, you got to sharpen that saw. Otherwise, you become exhausted and you suffer and you're burned out. And so we're not talking about stopping completely, just closing your mind and your spirit off to what's important. Jesus taught this to his apostles, right? He said, then the apostles, after, just before the feeding of the 5,000 here, we're talking Mark chapter 6 at verse 30, Jesus, just before the apostles, they gathered together, they told Jesus everything that had happened, both what they had done when they went out and what they thought. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while. That's what he told them. But he knew how hard they had been working. There was many who were coming and going, and they didn't even have food to eat. And so spiritual rest does not mean do nothing. Jesus himself went off into the wilderness to pray. He didn't go off in the wilderness to take a nap. Right? Spiritual rest does not mean doing nothing. Jesus took time to be alone. Not to sleep. And Mark 1:35 tells us that it was to pray. To be spiritual healthy, we need these times of rest, times for prayer, times for meditation, times for study, right? The formula for this is perfect. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanks, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to be those people that are taking rest in the Word of God. You know, it's like Philippians 4, 8 and 9 that I think that was quoted this morning. We need to feed our minds, meditate on good things, things that are true, things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. We need to meditate on those things, because when we do that, the God of peace will be with us. We can't remain spiritually strong without resting our spirit. And rest doesn't mean sleep. It means to be meditating. Just, you know, you're rejuvenated. You're revived when you study God's word, when you bring that word into your heart. And we don't want to neglect to mention the importance of a healthy diet. Right? Healthy diet starts by avoiding junk food. You know, we live in a country now where they're actually addressing the idea of junk food. We went from the 30s and 40s and 50s where people were pretty much at their proper weight to the 60s, 70s and 80s where a lot of people are obese. They're overweight like me. And so, why did that happen? Well, because I ate at McDonald's and Burger King, and I loved Twinkies and Ho-Hos, and I used to buy them by the pack and throw them in my freezer. I love frozen Ho-Hos. Not good. Not good at all. I'm thankful my wife recently started this new diet for us. I've already lost 7 or 6 pounds. And so I'm hoping that'll continue. The right thing, eating the right food, getting rid of junk food, right? In Titus chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather, verse 1, speaking the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That's avoiding junk food. You do that by avoiding the things that can really hurt you, right? That's healthy teaching. There's also the opposite of sound doctrine, which is unhealthy teaching, right? Be careful of unsound doctrine. That's part of the diseases out there that will hurt you, right? Any teaching that's contrary to the blessed gospel, 1 Timothy chapter 1, you can read that, you know, like the first 11 verses. So we need to be careful here. Be careful of the radio. I know many Christians that tell me about all these different preachers they listen to on the radio, and then they're confused about things. So we need to be careful. Walk circumspectly. Be cognitive of what you're listening to. Compare everything. Test it all against the scriptures. And then not only the radio, but the television. One person that was visiting with us for a long time and has sadly left us told me that she watches, if she's not at work, she's watching YouTube, television, programming, sermons from all around the world, being filled with all kinds of things that aren't spiritually correct. And then you got to be careful of religious books. Solomon said to the writing of books, there is no end. God gave us 66 books. And these 66 books, we know for sure we can trust them. But when you think about religious books, you know, I went into a, quote, Christian bookstore one time, and a woman came up to me and she said, she saw me standing near a stack of this new book that was out by some famous author, and she said, oh, you got to get that book. That's a great book. I said, I have a great book. And I quoted that verse to her, to the writing of many books there is. There's no end. There's so many books. And I said, why be confused? They're all talking about what they think this book says. Why not just read this book? So we need to be careful. All those kinds of things. Teaching that appeals to those with itching ears, right? We think of this admonition of Paul to Timothy. What did he say to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He says, beginning at verse 1, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So we need to be very careful that we're not eating spiritual junk food, you know, reading things that aren't the Bible, being careful that we test everything against this book and not pay any attention to those things that are going off track. That's a healthy spiritual diet. And it provides us with spiritual nourishment. You know, we don't live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word of God. Devouring the Lord's word, which are the words of life. Jesus said that. John chapter 6, verse 63. He says it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the spirit. Simple. Right? We need that. And when we take this in, we need to be like Peter, who answered Jesus, who is saying, will you leave too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68. And so we grow spiritually strong when we consume the pure milk of the Word as firstborn, newborn babes. Desire the milk of the Word. So there we're providing nourishment to our bodies. Think about this. The prescription for spiritual health is really simple. Healthy intake of God's Word, time aside for rest, and meditation on God's word, and exercising spiritual knowledge. And I apologize, this is off the screen here, but which together builds a strong immune system. And so those are things that are so important. I hope that helps you at least to think and meditate. Maybe something there would strike you as something you could teach another person. You know, if we follow this prescription, our spiritual health and progress, it will be evident to all. Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Not only saving ourselves, but being a great influence and a blessing to all those around us. We're infecting them with good health when we teach them the Word of God. and we're not spiritually healthy as we should be, when we're not, then begin today. You know, follow the great physician's prescription for spiritual health. You know, if you look in your Bible in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. In the New King James Bible, this is what we read. It says, "And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes." And this is spiritual health to our spiritual body. He says, "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God who heals you." The Lord your God who heals. That comes, those last two words there technically are Jehovah Rapha. Those two words combined together means the Lord who heals. And so if we're overcome by the disease of sin, Jehovah Rapha is able to heal us. And he does that through his word and through his spirit. Then we can overcome the disease of sin. We're inoculated, if you will, that protects us. It goes into our spiritual immune system. And we look to him, the great physician, who provides spiritual healing to anyone who comes. Think of the renewal that we have through the Word of God. I'd like to close by reading a psalm, Psalm 103, the first five verses. And the lesson will be yours. Here, the psalmist, David, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles." Wonderful words to live by. If anyone has need this night for anything, whether it is to be baptized, to repent of sin, you know, we have a song of invitation, song number 805. Very, very appropriate. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? If you have need at all, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, do not let